Welcome to Torah Simcha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek Samach Gimel, Chapter 63. This chapter contains two distinct parts. The beginning of the chapter connects to the last. After a description of the eternal sovereignty of Jerusalem that will be revealed at the time of Mashiach, the prophet continues to describe the retribution that will be bestowed upon our host in the last exile, the Edomites. Then the chapter begins a long conversation between Hashem and Bnei Israel about Israel's despair and exile and why they are still there. Mi ze ba me Edom? Who is this coming from Edom? Chamutz begadim mibatzra, in spoiled garments from Botzra. Ze hadur bivusho, who is majestic in his attire, tzo'e berov kocho, girded with great strength. Ani, it is I, medaber bitzdaka, who speaks with righteousness, Rav Lahoshia, abundantly able to save. The chapter begins with a question, asked either rhetorically by Hashem himself or by the Jewish people. Who is coming from Edom with blood on his garments? The adjectives in this verse are confusing. Chamutz, which is very hard to translate, means something that smells bad. But it also says hadur, majestic. The dichotomy comes from the fact that God has wreaked vengeance and punishment, so some descriptions seem negative. But his punishments always fit the crime perfectly, and therefore there is a majesty even in this. Hashem declares that it is he himself who, acting with righteousness, has taken vengeance on Edom. Madua Adom levushacha, why is your clothing so red? Uvigadecha kedorech bagas, your garment like those who has tread on vats of grapes. Pura darachti levadi, I alone have trodden a winepress. Umeamim ein ishiti, not a man from the nations was with me. Hashem tells us that he has acted alone. He laments that he doesn't even have the merits of his own people on which to base his actions. The ultimate retribution on Edom will be beyond the merits of the Jewish people. But Hashem will do so anyway for his own sake. While this is negative, it reveals a positive. As we have discussed before, Hashem has intertwined his destiny with that of the Jewish people. It is specifically when we don't deserve something that we see Hashem's dedication to us in bringing it undeserved. Ve'edrachem ba'api ve'ermesem b'chamasi. I trotted them, the Edomites, down in anger. I trampled them in my rage. Anger is something that is expressed outwardly. This refers to giving the Edomites tribulation that will bring out the good within. This is compared to stamping on grapes in order to bring out the juice and the fruit that is hidden underneath the skin. When they don't repent, that turns into rage, which is deeper and more internal, and that will destroy the grapes and the people completely. V'yez nitzcham al begadai, their lifeblood was spattered on my garments, v'chol malbushai egalti, and all my clothing was stained. Blood is the life force of man. The world will see that man does not exist independently. Their blood will be on Hashem's garments, which means that it will be clear that this life force was always his to take away. And now that is what he has done. Kiyom nakam b'libi ushnasku uli ba'a. For I had planned a day of vengeance, and my year of redemption has arrived. We have no idea when this will be. It is in Hashem's hands completely. Va'abit v'eino zer. And then I looked, but there was no one to help. I was astounded, but there was no supporter. The time for retribution on our enemies has come, and again Hashem looks for our merits to aid in his cause, but we do not have any. So my own arm wrought the salvation, and my own rage was my support. Again, Hashem will do so anyway, because the Jewish people's salvation and Hashem's is one and the same. Va'avus amim ba'api, va'ashkarein b'chamasi. I trampled people in my anger. I made them drunk with my rage. Hashem's punishment is compared to wine, in that it makes the recipients lose their mental faculties. Va'urid la'aretz nitzcham, and I hurled their eternity to the ground. After the punishment, Edom will be no more. They will not be revived. They will be gone forever. Here ends this prophecy about the time of the redemption. First, with what will be positively for the Jewish people in the last chapter, and then the retribution on our hosts in exile, the kingdom of Edom. Now the Navi will look back into exile, but the focus will not be on our suffering or our sins, but on Hashem's kindness. Because even though we are not where we want to be, and there is much suffering, if we pay attention, the kindness, even in exile, is overwhelming. Yeshayahu is uniquely capable of recognizing this kindness, because through his prophetic vision, he can see from the beginning of time until the end. Chasdei Hashem askir tehilos Hashem. The loving kindness of Hashem I will recall, and his praises. Chesed is specifically kindness that is bestowed without obligation, when there is nothing that the recipient has done in order to demand the action. Ka'al kol asher gmalanu Hashem, for all that he has bestowed upon us, v'rav tuv leveis Yisrael, and the multitude of good for the house of Israel, asher gmalam kerachamav ukarov chastav, that he bestowed upon them according to his mercy and his great kindness. Hashem showed us both mercy and kindness. Mercy means saving someone from difficulty, to take pity on the pain that they are in or what might occur to them and to save them from it. Kindness applies all the time, to bestow goodness on another for no reason. And Hashem has showed us both. Vayomer achamihema, he said they are my people, banim lo yishakeru, children who will not be false. Vayehi lahem lemoshia, so he became for them a deliverer. This verse, according to the commentaries, is referring to when Hashem chose to take us as a nation. He said, they are my people who will not be false, and so I will rescue them. But we know in retrospect that the Jewish people did betray Hashem. They were false. Was Hashem wrong? Radak reads this verse, I will take them as my people in order that they will not be false. I will be for them a deliverer, meaning, if I save them, hopefully they will not be false to me, thus giving us extra motivation to stay loyal to him. Rashi says that Hashem chose to think of us in this way, despite the fact that he knew that we would sin eventually. His love for us was so great that he saw the good in us, and he assumed the good in us, even though he knew that eventually we would fall. Bechol tzarasam lo tzar. The word lo in this verse has what is called a kri uksiv, one way that it is written and one way that it is read. The primary understanding is always according to the Kri, the way that it is read. The Kri here is lo with a vav, which means for him. That way the verse would read, Bechol tzarasam lo tzar. In all of their troubles, he was troubled. This is a reference to the deeply comforting Torah concept that Hashem is with us in exile. Hashem is distressed, so to speak, by our suffering. The Ksiv is lo with an aleph, which means not. The verse would then read, Bechol tzarasam lo tzar. With all of their trouble, meaning the trouble that the Jewish people perpetrated, Hashem would not bring commensurate trouble upon them. These are not two independent explanations. The sages teach us that there is always a deep connection between the Kri and the Ksiv, the way the verse is read and the way it is written. In this case, it is easy to explain. It is because Hashem is so connected to the Jewish people and he is suffering along with us, that he does not bring the punishment that we deserve upon us. These ideas are expressed in the same words to teach us that they are two sides of the same coin. Umalach panav hushiam, so an angel before him saved them. According to Rashi, this is an actual angel who walks before a person, the angel Michael, who we refer to before we go to sleep at night. According to Radak, the prophet refers not to an actual angel, but another emissary of Hashem called nature. Nature is referred to as an angel because just like an angel, nature is only there to serve as an agent of God. So according to Radak, in order to spare the Jewish people, Hashem orchestrated natural circumstances in order to protect them. Bi'ahavaso uvechamlaso hu ga'alam. In his love and compassion, he redeemed them. V'yinatleim v'yinaseim kol yimei olam. He took them and he carried them all the days of the world. This seems out of order. First it says that he redeemed us in love and compassion, and then it says that he carried us all the days of the world. The redemption chronologically comes after sustaining us through the exile. So why does it come first in this verse? Because even after the redemption comes, we will look back in awe and thanks. Because, as we know, perhaps the greatest miracle of all is the survival of the Jewish people throughout history. But despite all of this kindness, Vehema maru v'itzu esruach kodsho, but they, the Jewish people, rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, v'yahafech lahem lo'ayev, who nilcham bam. Then Hashem became their enemy, and he himself made war against them. This does not chas v'shalom mean that Hashem actually lost his love for us, but that he behaved like our enemy, purposely orchestrating events for our punishment. As we have seen many times, just as our survival is supernatural, so was our suffering. Up until this point, the chapter has described how we sinned and we were punished in return. And our response to this suffering is in verse 11. Vayizkor yimei olam Moshe amo. And they remembered the days of old, of Moshe with his people. And they said, Ayeha ma'alei miyam esro etzono. Where is the one who brought them out of the sea, together with the shepherds of his flock? Referring to Moshe and Aharon. Aye hasam bekir boas ruach kodsho. Where is the one who put the Holy Spirit in their midst? Do we not do this? Do we not look back to the days of open miracles and say, where is Hashem who performed all of those great miracles? Why does he not do so for us? Why does he not infuse us with his presence and with his holiness, like the Jews of old? Maybe we would behave differently if we were them. Radak makes the question more specific. The Jewish people challenge Hashem based on the miracles he performed for the Jewish people as they were coming out of Egypt. Those Jews were idol worshippers. They complained to and challenged Hashem right before the splitting of the sea. And yet they received the highest form of prophecy and great open miracles. So we, the Jews in exile, turn to Hashem and say, we know we have sinned, but so did they. Why can't we receive what they did? Molich liyamin Moshe's ro'o tifarto. He caused his arm of splendor to go at Moshe's right side. He provided divine intervention whenever necessary. Bokeh amayim mipneihem la'asos lo shem olam. He divided the waters before them to make himself a name for all time, so that the whole world would recognize him. The Nevi goes on to describe the great miracles of the desert that were done with kindness and gentility, not because of our merit, but in order to sanctify Hashem's name. And based on our recognition of those great miracles of old, we ask Hashem, Habet mishamayim ure'eh, mizvul kodshecha v'sifartecha. Look down from heaven and see, from your abode of holiness and splendor. Aye kinascha ugvurasecha. Where is your zeal? Where is your strength? Hamon me'echa v'rachamecha, alai hisapaku. Your inner yearning and your love are being withheld from me. We recognize that Hashem's power is there and even his love, but it is not reaching us. Ki ata avinu, for you are our Father. As we said clearly, we know we have rebelled against you, but we are suffering, and a father cannot stand to watch the suffering of a child. Ki Avraham lo yadanu v'Yisrael lo yakiranu. Although Avraham may not know us, and Israel, Jacob, may not recognize us, Ata Hashem Avinu go'alenu me'olam shmecha. You, Hashem, are our Father. Our eternal Redeemer is your name. That is your name. That is how you are recognized. What will happen to the sanctification of your name if you leave us in exile? This is a continuation of the same plea to give us your miracles, even though we are not worthy. There is an obvious omission in this verse discussed in the Talmud. The verse lists two of our three forefathers, Abraham and Jacob. Where is Isaac? The Talmud tells us that Hashem will go to Abraham and to Jacob and tell them of their descendants' sins. They will both advise destroying the Jewish people, their descendants, for the sanctification of God's name. Only Isaac will intervene. He will argue that they are God's children just as they are his. And his own merit of sacrificing his own life at the binding of Isaac should be a merit that brings their salvation. To which the people of Israel will respond with this verse. Ki Avraham lo yadano v'Yisrael lo yakiranu. Abraham may not know us, and Jacob may not recognize us. But you, Isaac, you are our father. To which, of course, Yitzchak Avinu responds. The praise is not for me, it is for Hashem. So they continue with the last clause of the verse. Ata Hashem Avinu, go'alenu me'olam shmecha. You, Hashem, are our Father. Our eternal Redeemer is your name. So we look back to the past and urge Hashem to save us based on comparisons from before. And then we turn to the present and lament how we have reached this lowly place in our own behavior. Lama Tas enu Hashem midrachecha. Why, Hashem, have you made us stray from your ways? Takshiach libeinu mi'irasecha, and let our hearts become hard so that we cannot fear you. How does Hashem make us stray and our hearts hard? By keeping us in exile. The hardships themselves lead some to despair and others to lose hope of redemption and Hashem keeping his word of redemption. Shuv l'man avadecha, and again we plead with him. Return for the sake of your servants, shivtei nachalasecha, the tribes that are your portion. Return your presence to us for the sake of those who were true servants to you and to whom you promised that you would redeem their descendants, like the forefathers and the holy tribes. Lamitzar yarshu am kodshecha. For such a short time did your people inherit your land. Tzareinu bosesu mikdashecha. Our foes have trampled your sanctuary. In the span of history, the Jewish people were in their land for so short, and even shorter was the time that the temple stood. Hayinu me'olam lo mashal dabam, lo nikra shimcha aleihem. We have become like a nation that you did not rule over. It is as if your name is not called upon us. And then we end with a final plea. Lo karata shamayim yaradata mipanecha harim nazolu. If you would but tear open the heavens and come down, mountains would melt before you. This is a reference either to the great miracles of the Exodus, like mentioned earlier in the chapter, or the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai. We beg of Hashem to break open the veil of nature and show us his presence. Either way, the chapter ends with the Jewish people beseeching Hashem, if only you would tear open the veil under which you are hidden, the whole world would cower before you. Thank you for learning together Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.